1 Samuel chapter 1 and verses 1 to 20. I believe it will come up on the screens. I'm reading from the ESV, so it might be slightly different from the NIV, but you should be able to follow it. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah and his wife and to all her daughters and sons. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on, year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah her husband said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. And Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Sorry, just got attacked by a wasp. Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she answered and said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his most holy word to us this morning. We've been doing a series on prayer over at Clodham Baptist Church, and hopefully this will help you this morning in your prayer life if you're struggling with it. But before we open up God's word, let's come before the Lord again in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can sing your praises. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you in prayer. What a privilege it is to be able to come before your throne of grace, knowing we have a Savior and an Advocate who stands at your right hand, who intercedes for us, that we have your Holy Spirit dwelling within us, so that in those times where we cannot even form words because of our anguish and despair, your Spirit takes our very groans and brings them before your throne of grace. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have, that we can come before you in prayer, that we can lay our problems before you, that we can come and give our thanks to you, that we can praise you, that we can worship you, and that, Lord, you are always more willing to listen, to hear, and to answer our prayers than we are to come before you. We thank you, Father, that you are a God who loves to bless your people. And we just pray that you would bless us this morning. That as your word goes forth, again, Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to your people this morning. For these things we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let me begin with a question this morning. How is your prayer life at the moment? If we do not pray regularly, it is probably because we either do not think that it is necessary, or we don't really believe that prayer works as well as the Bible says it does. Either way, those two views on prayer are skewed. The truth is, a lot of our opinions on things and on others and on ourselves will not entirely reflect the truth or reality as it really is. We will often fail to see things from other people's perspectives. And it is no surprise that we don't always see things from God's perspective, especially on prayer. We view things as we think they are and as best as we can conceive them. God views things as they actually are because he knows the end from the beginning and he is in control of all things. It is so very easy to get wrapped up in our own situation. We know how we feel. We know why we do things. And we see things from our perspective. But, friends, some breaking news. We don't always see the big picture. And sometimes we fail to see things from other people's perspectives, including God's. How many wives have said to their husbands, "I need to buy a new pair of shoes to match the dress that I have just bought," reopening that ancient argument over the precise definition of the word need. I remember once when I was arguing with my parents, I was about 8 years old, because I wanted a new bike, and the bike was the same amount as 1 week of my dad's wages. So I knew they could afford it. They were just being mean in not letting me have it. They were just being unfair. It's not until you actually start earning your own wage that you realize how little of it is actually left to spend on things that you want. And as long as we are left to walk on this planet, there will be misunderstandings between us, and we will often see things differently from others. Brings to mind the story of this little boy, one who had been sent to his room because he had been bad. And a short time later, he came out and he said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "That's fine," the mother said. "If you ask God to make you good, he will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me to be good," replied the boy. "I asked him to help you put up with me." You know, people's views on things are very different, but thankfully the Bible helps us to view things from God's perspective, and this includes our perspective on prayer. And it will come as little surprise to know that God's perspective on things often is far different and far removed from our own perspective on things. Often we would want our suffering to go, but God wants his children to grow. We want the difficult situation to be diffused, but God wants us to minister his grace. We want to make sure our pension lasts as long as we do. God wants us to trust him on a daily basis. And as we unpack this passage this morning, I want us to notice three things. Firstly, Hannah's prayer. Secondly, Eli's answer. And thirdly, God's response. Hannah's prayer, Eli's answer, and God's response. And in the passage we read earlier from 1 Samuel 1, you'll notice that through the unfolding account of Hannah's prayer and the situation she faced, people failed to see things as other people did. Indeed, Elkanah, Eli, Peninnah, and Hannah herself all failed to see things from God's perspective. Elkanah couldn't see past Hannah's reason for being so upset. Verse 8 says, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Elkanah had children from his other wife, so he could not see Hannah's pain in not having children of her own. Peninnah couldn't see past her own blessing. Verse 4. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. As if Peninnah's ability to have children had anything to do with her. Eli, he couldn't even see past his own prejudice. Verse 12. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. Eli the priest mistakenly sees drunkenness instead of prayer. And lastly, Hannah couldn't see past her own situation. Verse 15. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Hannah could only see her misery and pain at being barren, so much so that it was making her physically ill and she refused to eat. None of them could see the plan that God had in store for Hannah or for her yet unborn son. Because as we know, Hannah would have a son and Samuel would be one of the person to grow up and be one of God's mightiest prophets and one of God's most capable leaders of his people. We see that now. We see that retrospectively. We see it written down and we read this account knowing the end of the story and how Hannah's prayers were indeed answered. But put yourself in Hannah's place before her prayers were answered. Her husband has children from another wife, and this other wife, who is living with them, continuously and grievously provokes Hannah for being childless. And one of the most distressing parts of this whole story comes at the beginning of verse 7, which simply says, and so it went on year after year. Hannah's distress and her weeping and her helplessness was no flash in the pan experience. This situation was one that endured year after year after year. And as Hannah got older, and as she sees the years pass away, she sees her chance of having children ever diminish and slip further out of reach. And yet, year after year, Hannah continues to worship God. And although the years increase, her faith does not decrease. And she continues to pray. And she continues to wait for God to answer her. Her rivals hurl abuse at her. Her husband doesn't understand what she's going through. And her priest accuses her of being drunk. What a day that must have been. And yet she prays to God and opens up her prayers with the words, O Lord of hosts, a name which describes God's great power and control over all the earth. As in Amos chapter 4 verse 13, where it says, For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the height of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And again in Isaiah chapter 45, and verses 11 to 12, when speaking of the Lord of hosts, it says this, Ask me of things to come, will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? I have made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all of their hosts. Two passages of scripture which reveal, firstly, that God hears the very thoughts of his children. Although we may use the term silent prayers from the human perspective to mean praying without audibly speaking, from God's perspective, there is no such thing as silent prayer, because he hears all of our prayers, whether we say them out loud or not. And secondly, God knows of the things to come, and he knows who he will form and when and why. This is the God that Hannah comes before, the Lord of hosts, the great creator God, and she asks to be remembered by him, and she asks for a son. And the term remembered here is not in the sense that God has forgotten. It is used as if to say, take notice of my prayers, or turn your attention to my situation and answer my supplication. And in the midst of her weeping and vexation of spirit, as she pours out her heart before God, after years of barrenness and bullying, Eli comes over and accuses her of being drunk. How bizarre for a priest of God to see a woman moving her lips without speaking in the tent of worship and presume that she was drunk rather than praying. But we find out later in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel that the tent of meeting where they worship God was in pretty bad shape at this time. Eli's own sons were sleeping with women at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And it says in verse 17 of chapter 2, thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. The worship of God at that time was certainly mingled with gross and grievous sins. But Eli's mistaken accusation of drunkenness, Hannah replies to this. She says, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. And when Eli realizes that this woman was praying and she was not drunk, and that out of her distress, she poured out her heart to the Lord rather than pouring wine down her own neck, Eli doesn't ask Hannah what her prayers were about, but having witnessed the passion and the urgency and the sincerity of her prayers, he simply says, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. Go in peace. Someone has once said that the measure of true patience is to wait without worrying. Go in peace, says Eli. If we think we're waiting upon God and being patient, but at the same time worrying, then we're not being patient. We're simply enduring the time out of necessity. Eli, as a priest whose role it was to intercede for the people before God, sees Hannah's heartfelt prayer and pronounces upon her his priestly blessing. Go in peace. And notice what Hannah's response is to Eli's proclamation. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way, and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. As the hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I wonder if there are things in your life just now which you bring before the Lord in earnest prayer, perhaps even with tears, and perhaps for weeks or months or even years of heartache. And as soon as you finish praying, you get up and straight away you haul your burden back on to your own shoulders to carry it. It's like hauling a heavy suitcase all the way across town to the train station, only to get on the train and to remain holding it instead of putting it on the luggage rack and sitting down and relieving yourself from the weight of the case. Although there is some truth in the saying that God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves, it is also true that we often try and do things for ourselves that only God can do for us. We cannot plan our own births, only God can. We cannot save ourselves, only God can. And when we pray, we can't answer our own prayers, only God can. Don't bring things to God you aren't willing to leave with Him. It is a desperately hard thing to do, to leave our prayers with God and to wait for His answers. But this is part of the purpose and design of prayer, and part of the reason why it is so important that we who are believers who want to grow in our faith should pray. Because it is in the waiting for the answers, and in the leaving of our problems with God, and in the trusting that He will do all things well, which causes us to grow in faith and dependence upon God and trust in Him. It is not the case that our prayers change God's set mind, but that through our prayers, God changes our mindset. So having looked at Hannah's prayer, having looked at Eli's answer, let's take a look at God's response. And there's a particular phrase I would like to pick up on this morning. It says in verse 19 following, "They arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. And when they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord." Notice the beginning of verse 20. "And in due time." How annoying is it when you ask someone when something is going to be ready and they turn around and reply, "All in good time, my friend, all in good time." And you feel like grabbing them by the collar and shouting, "Give me details, I need to know when it is going to be ready." And there are times when our prayers aren't answered in the time frame that we have planned. And although we may not say it in so many words out loud, we often say within our hearts, "But when, Lord? I'm not content, really, to leave this in your hands. I need to know." Friends, that's walking by sight, not by faith. The only reason God holds back from answering our prayers is because He knows the right time to reply. The time when we need what we have asked for, and the time when we are ready to receive it. The devil will tempt us not to trust God while we wait for Him to answer our prayers. "Ah," he'll say, "still not received that answer to prayer, I see. Well, either God can't answer it, or more likely, He doesn't want to answer it. He could take away your pain. He could choose for you not to suffer. Why on earth do you still trust Him?" That's what the devil does. He tries to accuse us. He tries to use logic. The devil is well trained in the art of logic, but not all logic is correct. For example, if olive oil is squeezed from olives, and rapeseed oil is squeezed from rapeseed, and sunflower oil is squeezed from sunflower seeds, where does baby oil come from? Not all logic is right. Just because we cannot understand why God delays answering our prayers, it doesn't mean that God hasn't thought through why He does what He does. For example, we may start putting money away for our children in an account when they are born. And by the time they are 10 years old, perhaps they have accrued quite a fair amount of cash. But as wiser older parents, you also know that if you gave them the money when they were 10 years old, they would simply waste it on moshi monsters and ice cream and computer games. We give our children the money we have saved for them at the time we judge they need it, and we'll spend it wisely. Yes, when our children are young, we could use the money and buy them lots of toys and games and everything they ever wanted. But is that doing the best thing for them? No. In due time, we give them the things they need according to our resources. And brothers and sisters, God's resources will never run out. He simply gives us what we need when we need it and not before. God sees in advance of our prayers and in advance of our needs. He gives grace for the moment. He doesn't just fill us with grace when we become Christians and then leave us to carefully work out when to use it and when not to in case it runs out. His grace is never ending, but it is dispensed as required, not in advance. Dr. Helen Rosevere, a missionary to Zaire, told this following story. She said, a mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. And we tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, please send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England, and the children watched eagerly as they opened it. And much to their surprise, under a layer of clothing, there was indeed a hot water bottle. And immediately, the little girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, if God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll for the sister. And she was right. He had. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that little girl's sincere request. And 5 months earlier, he had led a group of ladies to include both of those specific items in the parcel that they sent out to Zaire. God's timing is perfect. It may well make life easier for you if God answered all of your prayers in an instant, but it would not be the best thing for you. If all of our prayers were answered instantaneously, then no one would grow in their faith as a Christian. If all our prayers took years and years to answer, then we would think that God was just a wee bitty slow. And if none of our prayers were answered, then we wouldn't pray at all. But God does sometimes answer our prayers immediately, revealing that he does hear us and he does know what we need even before we ask for it, and to give us encouragement and faith for the future. And sometimes God answers our prayers after we have waited a long time so that we may learn to trust him and learn to trust his timing. And learn to go in peace because he does hear our prayers. And he does work out all things in a way which brings him the most glory and us the most blessing. So let me ask you again this morning. What prayers do you pray that you still wait to receive answers to? Perhaps for your children to come to the faith, to be born again. Perhaps for your family situation to change for the better. Perhaps for your illness and pain to subside and to be restored to health. Hannah's dire situation continued year after year as she poured out her heart to the Lord until the servant of God tells her, "Go in peace." And she leaves her request with the Lord of hosts. And in due time, in God's time, God answers her prayer. It may be the case this morning that you need the perseverance to go on praying. May God grant that to you this morning. It may be the case this morning that you need to leave your prayer requests with the Lord of hosts and to take heart to those words, "Go in peace." It may be that God is answering your prayers as he says, in due time, in due time. I'm quite aware that this sermon may not be easy for some people to listen to, depending on their personal situation. So let me end with some reassuring words to give strength to the weak and courage to the feeble-hearted this morning. I firmly believe that our Father in heaven gives us what is best for us. I don't understand why it is that certain people have to go through some of the things they do. And I know from experience that I do not like some of the things that God has brought into my life. But I am absolutely convinced that I will one day look back and say, He has done all things well. He has done all things well. And I'd like to close with these words from an unknown Confederate soldier of the American Civil War. He said this, "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might humbly learn to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." Let's pray. Father, would you help each and every one of us in our prayer lives? Would you teach us, Father, how to pray? Would you teach us day by day to trust you, to leave our prayers with you, knowing that you will answer us according to your will and your good pleasure, according to that which brings you the most glory and us the most blessing. Father, help us to be patient as we await those prayers that are yet to be answered. May we go in peace, knowing that you will answer our prayers in due time. And give us the grace to accept when sometimes you answer our prayers with a no. Because, Father, whenever you do not give us the things that we desire, it is because you have something better to give to us. May we trust you. May we trust your wisdom and your infinite knowledge. May we trust your sovereignty and your loving fathering care. For we come before you, Father, as our children, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his righteousness, accepted in your sight, and filled with your Spirit. Father, teach us how to pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.